How it started, 1663 to 1818. When prayers were over, Father said, "Now, William, what do you want to know about our family history?" "Just everything. Start from the beginning. I'll get my slate so I can write down any names or dates I might forget. I want to tell it well so Mr. Harris won't think I belong in the primer class again." William laughed as he ran to get his slate. "When did the Pilgrims come across the ocean in the Mayflower?" asked Father. Before William could open his mouth to answer, Simeon shouted, "In 1620. "Right. Your great-great-great-grandfather crossed the ocean from England just 43 years later. Now who can tell me that date?" Simeon didn't have a chance this time. "That would be 1663, said William after a few moments of figuring. "Right again. For 104 years, the Farnsworth family lived near Plymouth in Massachusetts. Then in 1767, your very own grandpa and grandma, Simeon and Esther Farnsworth, decided to move here to Washington. No one was living here then. This was wild country. They didn't make the trip alone. 15 families came together. They had to bring everything they needed. There was no roads. Nicks had been cut in the trees to show them which way to go. They tied their belongings on the horses. Everyone walked except the small children, who climbed up on the horses and found nooks between the bags where they could ride. Many streams of water rushed down the hillsides. When the travelers came to one too deep to wade, the men would find a tall tree near the bank of the stream and cut it down so that it would fall across the stream to the other side. This made a bridge. Very carefully the women would help the children walk across. Many times they would crawl on the log, holding on with both hands. The men rode the horses through the water." "Were you there, Father?" asked Simeon. "No, no, my father was only 22 years old. He and mother had just been married. I wasn't born until they had lived here 14 years. Each man bought 100 acres on which to make his farm. It was early spring when they arrived. How busy they were cutting down the trees. We will build one-room log cabins for now and live in them for a while, they decided. This will give us time to clear some land and plant our gardens. We must grow food before the long winter begins. That is just what they did. The next year, a lumber mill was ready to saw the great logs into smooth boards for buildings. But before these pioneers built homes for themselves, they built a schoolhouse. Then they built a church in which to worship. In the next few years, many of the large, beautiful homes you see now were built. This is a wonderful country, spoke up Mother. Just think, within our township, we have more than 27 lakes. We would miss the fresh fish and the wild ducks when our food supply is low if we didn't have these lakes. There would be no swimming or boating in the summer, added William. I'd miss the ice skating, too. We all would, laughed Father. And think of the wild cherry trees, the juicy mulberries, the blackberries, the blueberries that grow wild around us. I like the maple sugar trees, said Daniel, smacking his lips. Mmm, said Simeon. What would rye cakes be like without maple syrup? Did Grandpa have trouble with the Indians or with wild animals? Asked William. He wanted to get a little excitement in his report, if possible. Indians had lived here, but they had all moved away before the pioneers came, answered Father. We have never had Indian wars or been afraid that our homes would be burned or that we would be scalped. We did have trouble with wild bears, though. How they liked to kill our cattle and sheep. Right now you are sitting on the skin of a bear that your grandpa killed. That bear came out of the woods into the field where my father was working. Father was a long way from the house, so he quickly ran and climbed up on the stump of the tree. He had his pitchfork with him. For 2 hours, Father and the bear fought back and forth. That bear wouldn't go away, but finally Father was able to kill him with the pitchfork. I'm glad you didn't kill my grandpa, said Daniel, giving the bear rug a thump. Our town has a great honor, said Father. In the year 1776, it was named Washington. Ours was the first town in America to be named after George Washington. He was the general of our army at that time. After that, he was the first president of our country, wasn't he? Shouted Simeon, proud that he knew so much history. Right, said Father. Our town has grown very fast. It is only 50 years since Grandpa Simeon came here. Now we have 900 people living in Washington Village. Hooray for Washington, the boys sang out. Hooray for bed, too, smiled Mother. I brought your night clothes downstairs. You may put them on here by the fire. Oh, thank you, Mother. Gratefully, they skinned off their clothes and pulled on their long woolly nightshirts. Mother was bending down in front of the fireplace, filling the bed warmer with red-hot coals. It was a brass pan with a lid and a long wooden handle. Upstairs, the boys pulled back the covers from their beds, and Mother took the bed warmer and moved it back and forth over the sheets. It felt good to get into bed and have Mother rub the bed warmer over each quilt after she pulled it up. Then she took large hot bricks wrapped in cloth and pushed one into each bed to help keep toes warm during the cold night. With a kiss for each boy and a cheery good night, Mother blew out their candles and left them to their dreams. The next day, Schoolmaster Harris was pleased with William's history report. The boy had made it interesting. Even the pupils who were not in the history class were watching and listening. Mr. Harris shook his head at them. Quickly they turned their eyes on their open reading books, but they couldn't turn off their ears.